Companies will want to come to the continent. American companies won't invest where there's civil war or a contentious political situation. There must also be enough sustainable energy to run the factories. Lastly, African nations must have good infrastructure and good governance policies.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Africa's economy is forecasted to grow to $2.6 trillion in 2020, up from $1.6 trillion in 2008. The rise is being fueled by booms in mining, agriculture, development of ports, roads, and other infrastructure. Many U.S. companies have focused their international expansion on Asia and Latin America, and now some are saying they are playing catch-up to China, which is already heavily investing in Africa. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, what can African governments do to persuade more U.S. companies to do business on the continent? Well, thanks for using all our social media platforms to communicate to us. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA Doing Business in Africa. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Martin Nyaluzi of Tanzania, who writes, we need good governance and good policies. Also, Africans must benefit fully from investments and not as it is right now. Well, we have another tweet, this time from Hassan Gaini. It says, doing business in Africa may be a great step and could present great opportunities for the unemployed youth. Africa's development depends upon it. And one more tweet comes from the Big Apple this time, Big Apple meaning the New York, meaning New York City, from Regina Mullen with a Twitter address that says, thinking out loud, I think I like that handle. She says that African countries should stand up for themselves and stop giving stuff away so that they have good bargaining leverage later. Let's now turn to a Facebook comment from Sebastian Leakey in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, who writes, good governance and security are important. This attracts more companies from developed countries, especially the U.S., to invest in the African continent. Shaka and Patrick, a range of opinions here. Your take.
What about that, Patrick? Especially the issue of good governance.
Yes. Of course. I think that, first of all, they have to overcome the mindset that there aren't that many opportunities in Africa. That's the first hurdle. And I think there's a stigma. You know, I've talked to many people in the business community here in the United States, and they'll say, well, I know somebody that went to Africa once and did some business and they didn't get paid. That could have been 30 years ago, you know, these types of things. But if you, and I've heard CEOs of companies in the USA say that, well, the African markets aren't ready for our products yet. You know, things like this. Porsche is opening up sales showrooms in Nairobi already, and they're expanding. Rolex is opening stores. Louis Vuitton, all of these things. If Africa is ready for those products, they're ready for any products in the world. So I think they will learn about the good governance, and they will be surprised about the things that have been implemented so far. The one comment on Facebook about stop giving things away as well. I was there when I was in Tanzania before the prospectors were looking at the mining possibilities there. Mm-hmm. And as they say, Mwalimu Nyerere kept the resources tapped because he knew they would mismanage them. And when President Mwinyi decided to open up, some of the first deals were not to the benefit of the country. People were taking advantage of that. But what did they do? They clawed back a lot of contracts and now renegotiate. And they're making much better deals for the countries in Africa now. So that is good governance. I think people would be surprised if they came right here to Washington to the World Bank spring or fall meetings and saw the talent that is managing the finances of Africa only, the ministers of finance and all that. They might be the biggest class reunions of Stanford, Harvard, and the London School of Economics over and above the regular ones that actually happen. They're very qualified people, very educated, on top of their game, and they know what they need to do. Someone made a comment about the East Africa or the European Union, and African countries should cooperate more in trade and everything. One of the foreign ministers and ministers of finance told me one time, he says, we love to watch the European Union. It's teaching us a lot about what to do and what not to do. So common currencies in like the East African Union and all that, they say, no. We don't need a Greece. We don't need this. We don't need that.
Really?
Let's sit back and watch before we decide to rush into a common currency. Let's get, we have to get our, you know, before Europe did it, you know, the stock markets weren't tied into the currencies. So this is what Africa is also learning. You know, Africa does not want the U.S. healthcare issues and problems.
It's interesting that some minister can talk about looking at the European Union and looking at the currency and what have you. The last time I checked, when I was a kid growing up in Kabale again, we actually had what was called, known as East African Currency Board.
Yes.
In fact, we had money that united the three countries that made up the then East African Community. And that was, of course, Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda. So it's not really, there's nothing new in this.
But you didn't have capital markets then that you have to tie them to now. They're just, they want a common currency. They just don't want to rush into it because they think the EC made mistakes rushing into it.
We'll come back to that. Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with the audience, please?
Absolutely. We'll move on to a posting from Kamusume Daniel in Kampala, Uganda, who writes, in my opinion, these U.S. companies have their hidden agendas, and African countries have to fulfill those first before African citizens can benefit from their services. Another Facebook comment comes from Deng Makir of Juba in South Sudan, who writes, democratic African governments with transparency will attract American companies, but because American companies are more concerned about profit, poverty in underdeveloped countries will remain. Quite interesting. Shaka and Patrick, again, can you touch on these points?
Patrick, what about that? It's not only Americans that are looking for profit. The Chinese must be looking for the same common denominator.
Right. And what's the difference between, you know, going back to the U.S., though, most companies, if you get any public Fortune 500 U.S. company and go to their financial statements, Africa would be part of rest of the world.
Meaning?
Meaning they're just not keyed in on it yet.
They're not in the play.
No, it's not in play. They'll have North America, South America, Europe, Asia, and the rest of the world, or the Middle East and Africa and things. They're just not tied into it yet, and they're missing the boat.
What is the problem, in fact, as you talk to some American business people? What is their problem, really? When you talk to them,
it's truly the lack of knowledge about what's happening on the continent. Let's face it, even the schools here, the universities, go see what you can learn in a MBA program about Africa and the United States. I did my research for the book, and there was only two MBA courses on business in Africa that made the students go to Africa to study and do dissertations. One is in Spain, and the other one is in China.
So are you suggesting that perhaps what is in fact needed is a sort of paradigm shift.
Yes, because now we only think of, listen, there's some very clever marketing people that know how to take money out of the wallets and bank accounts of Americans by showing African children on the television starving with flies on their faces and things like that. This is drilled into them that everything is bad in Africa. And it couldn't be further from the truth. 25% of the poverty in Africa has been reduced over the last 20 years.
You can't tell me that we are still stuck with the Tarzan general, as in Hollywood.
Not far from it, though. I must admit, with, you know, we don't go to, you know, other companies don't go to Coca-Cola and say, hey, how can we do business in Africa and all that. That's just not the way the American business community works. Everybody has their own agenda and their own strategy.
Very interesting. Well, thank you very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, he just gave us a great idea. Some of the immigrants here who came from Africa, maybe we can start classes about or open a new university about doing business in Africa and teach it to Americans and everybody who would like to know more about what's happening in the continent. Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Well, now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Ugandans go to the polls next year. And for the first time since 1996, 71-year-old President Yoweri Museveni is facing his toughest challenge yet, particularly if his opponents, former Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi and Dr. Besigye, unite. We'll have that and more next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back, and today we are exploring the secrets of doing business in Africa from an experienced American corporate executive who served as a CEO of a major tire company in Tanzania. Our distinguished guest is Patrick Griswold, American businessman, consultant, and author of the book, It's Africa Stupid. Well, once again, Patrick, frankly, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Pleasure to be here, Shaka.
You're most welcome, sir. And I gather that we do have someone on the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers, and this time, Emmanuel from Nigeria. Good evening, Emmanuel. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, Shaka. Good evening. How are you doing today?
I am hugely terrific. What about you, Oga?
Well, I'm calling you right now from the city of Benin City, Edo State, Nigeria.
I see.
Shaka, first of all, let me thank you and the management of Voice of America for sending your workers to Nigeria recently, because I was one of those who benefited from his wealth of experience when he came to Nigeria to train some journalists.
But I see. Thank you.
After that, I want to say, Shaka, that in Africa, I think for the American businessmen to come and invest, I want to ask you and the guests, what would the American government do to be able to curb corruption in Africa? Because even if American businessmen are going to come to Africa, the problem is like the corruption. African leaders, Shaka, with all due respect, we are very corrupt. Let me use the language, we are very corrupt. And so, and most of this money that they carry, they take it from Africa to the Western world. So, if American government is going to help us bring this money here, I equally beg or plead that they should equally look for a means to be able to stop African leaders from taking money from Africa to other countries. If not, all of these investments at the end of the day will not even see the light of the day. Thank you very much, Shaka, for giving me this audience.
You're most welcome. Your reaction, Patrick?
Well, let's deal with the elephant in the room of corruption. I write in the book, a lot of people may not understand how it evolved you know, the post-Cold War era, you know, during the Cold War, had a huge impact on the growth of corruption in Africa. What the countries did is they just threw piles of cash at African leaders to stand with them as puppets. So the Americans fed money into
against Russia,
China,
communism, so
communism.
To speak.
So
there's no communism today. They still do the same thing.
No, but what they did is Mobutu Sese Seko and people like that. They were given billions of dollars, and they said, "Oh, by the way, try to help your country and these things." And of course, they bought flats in Paris and London and cattle farms in Texas with the money and all of that. Now, at the end of the Cold War, they said, listen, we need a more uniform way of distributing money. And they came up with the World Bank and the IFC. And it was an institution. So therefore, they went from throwing money to African leaders to saying, we'll give you this money. We will have our own people sitting in your country to administer the use of it. And you have to pay it back with interest overnight. They didn't comprehend or understand that. But I can tell you today, it's changed dramatically. I first started doing business there in 1990. You have this evolution of people understanding that, you know, things are different now. And you didn't have banking systems. You know, you were in Dar es Salaam around 1990. You had the National Bank of Commerce, which is owned by the government. Mm-hmm. Today, there are 63 foreign banks in Tanzania. 63. Okay? So you have all this additional access to capital. Mm-hmm. And it's a big misconception, aid in Africa.
I will come to
It's a lot less than people think.
We'll come back to that. Patrick, a reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Launched in November 2012, the Doing Business in Africa campaign has four main objectives. Connect American businesses with African partners, support existing and new American investment in Africa, expand access for American businesses to finance their exports to Africa, and finally reduce barriers to trade and investment in the African continent.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Well, let's go back to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. And this time, it is Joseph. Good evening, Joseph from Kenya. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am hugely terrific. How are you today, my brother?
Yes, this is Joseph Oko from Busia, Kenya.
Joseph Oko from...
I'm very fine.
I see. What is your question?
So, when you talk about development in Africa...
You have a minute, Joseph.
Investors,
you have a minute.
...in Africa. Yes. We have more investors. We need investors in Africa, but the big problem that we have is corruption. You know, African leaders, they do more in corruption than development. So what... American and China have to do in African countries. They have to deal with corruption first so that we can have development in a proper way and safer way. You see, like now we have a competition of China and America. Who is going to lead Africa? So what they have to do, they bring more investors in Africa. But please, they have to work on corruption side. This is Joseph Oko from Kenya.
Thank you very much, Corruption Patrick. It is something that keeps coming up. And I think, you know, Joseph has a point, because I was going to say that perhaps if there is anybody to deal with corruption in any African country, it has to be the citizens of that country themselves.
Absolutely.
But what about the other aspect when these leaders steal the money? Guess where they bank it? They bank it in Europe, they bank it in North America.
It's true. It's an issue. But, the people are becoming more educated every day and understanding what's going on. You know, one point, when we talk about corruption, but let's look at the Millennium Challenge program. You know, they do very thorough reviews of these countries before they give these big, huge blocks of money out. So that's an indication that there's less and less corruption. But
and they have their own representative in the recipient country.
Now,
I have met some.
Let's understand, though, that the corruption issue is it's a lot different country to country as well. There are a lot more corrupt countries in Africa and a lot less
depending on whether the country actually is democratic or less democratic or autocratic.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think with the change in the generations and the younger people, let's face it. The first leaders, it was cronyism, it was friends, it was fraternities and these things. If we look at the parliaments now, we're getting very young, educated, well-educated people that are more interested in doing the right things. Also, they are being paid money that is, you know, they are being paid well so that they are not encouraged to be corrupt.
But Patrick,
this was a big problem in the past.
Patrick,
but it's the people that have to make the
wait
change.
Wait a minute, Patrick. Someone might say, you know what, there's no necessary correlation between being educated and being corrupt or not being corrupt. If anything, frankly, it's probably not so much education, but character. Character and integrity.
Well, it's like prejudice in that you're not born corrupt. You're not born prejudiced. You're taught to be that way.
Look at some of this corruption reportedly out of Nigeria, for example. If you look at the faces behind it, some of these folks, they
people
even have advanced degrees from the United Kingdom, from the United States, from Canada, man. Come on.
Sure.
Come on. Well, what about the issue of don't tell me what a man says. Don't tell me what a man knows. Huh? Tell me where he's traveled. Huh?
That is a quote at the beginning of my book from the Prophet Muhammad. And I just think it sums up when some of the thoughts that came out of many, many discussions, meetings, speaking engagements that I did with business people in the U.S. And I try to tell people in the U.S. now, before I take them with it, people don't want to know, hear you boast about yourself or your company. They want you to know what you can do for them.
Right.
What value are you going to add? So without going to places, you can't experience different cultures and what the needs are. You can't take a U.S. business plan and plug it into Kenya, Ghana, South Africa, or anything. You have to be patient, do your homework, understand where to start, how business works there, the regulations, and go from there. It is no longer high risk, high reward. It is lower risk than before, very high rewards in Africa. And a lot of people that have invested there are doing well.
They're doing well. How can we, for example, what do you think needs to be done, must happen in order to change the fundamental attitudes and mindsets about the interaction between American business people and Africa?
I'll give you an example. The middle class is growing very fast, as we've mentioned a few times during the program. And Africans want to experience the same thing that people, middle class in the United States, Europe, and everything.
Mm.
So let's just take a few of the franchises. You know, if you go to Africa now, into Kenya, Tanzania, even on these places, you'll find KFC, Subway, and all these things. No American company went over there and sold those franchises. Africans came over here and pulled them back to Africa. So the American companies must stop and think, what did I do today? What are the experiences that I and take them to Africa. From so many things, the daily pleasures and experiences. One of the big issues, as you know, is housing. And I've been asked by numerous heads of state, get people that want to build modern, affordable houses for Africa. They need millions of houses. And people, when you even tell them that millions of houses are needed, they think you're joking. If nowhere can need millions of houses. If anyone was going to need a million houses, it'd be the United States, and we'll just stay here and do that. So we really, and that's why I speak a lot and try to convince these people, you really have to listen, take a hard look. I would much rather take a trip to Africa than try to hire a few new salespeople to get more sales out of a dead market in Europe or the United States.
Well, what about the issue, perhaps, of the absence, for example, of a Pan-African media platform? You go to the Middle East, one of the key, of course, platforms is Al Jazeera. You go to Latin America, one of the keys is Telecel. I don't know, what have you? But when it comes to Africa, you neither have a Pan-African radio platform nor a television platform that covers the continent from an African perspective.
It's very true. CNBC Africa, which comes out of Cape Town, I believe, is very good, but you can't see it anywhere else in the world.
Why?
I don't know. But
now, CNBC, is it a subsidiary?
It's a franchise.
A subsidiary of CNBC, of NBC here.
Right. So, I mean, if American business people could watch CNBC Africa, they would learn a lot. They have reviews of the stock markets every day in Kenya, Nairobi, Nigeria, you know, the South Africa, the major markets. Hmm. It would be very enlightening. And here's another point. I know someone that's trying to get U.S. stocks listed in Africa Exchange. Why is it that Africans have been buying Coca-Cola since 1928, yet they can't buy a share of stock in Coca-Cola?
Really?
No.
They're not allowed?
You can't buy a share of American stock in Africa. So I know people that want to list American stocks in places like Nairobi, Dar es Salaam, South Africa.
What about behavior, attitudes? Because some Africans complain that when they meet Europeans or they meet Americans, they are treated as if they are second-class citizens. And yet, when they interact with the Chinese, with the Indians and what have you, they feel like they are equals.
The Chinese have the full-fledged support of their government, their banking system, and everything. And China needs the resources. We know that. That Africa has coal, iron ore, all of these things. So that has been elite. So they have so much support. President Obama had the first Africa summit, the first ever Africa summit last year.
Well, I hope there's another one around the corner.
I hope so myself.
You just had the one recently in India. I think it was actually last week.
Very big, last week in India.
Very interesting, and you are soon going to have another one. The Chinese will be meeting, I think, in South Africa.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. And on that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Patrick Griswold, American businessman, consultant, and author of the book, It's Africa Stupid, but in fact, It's Africa Smart. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.